This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Surprise Spring Training for the Texas Rangers. And right now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. You know, Mike was just talking about the Yankees during the break, and I had a story that I wanted to kind of bring up. I don't know if you saw this or not, Mike. The Yankees will no longer play Frank Sinatra's theme from New York, New York after losses. They have confirmed. This is a lot of, actually... They're going to start rotating a selection of songs. Sinatra's That's Life was played.
They're doing a lot of changes.
They said you can grow a well-groomed beard.
Because of Devin Williams?
Yeah, and now you can they're also not doing that. The Yankees lose a World Series, and they just change everything.
Yankee fans are mad about the facial hair thing.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. Like, most of the fans, because they're just like, it's tradition that they're the clean-cut team, that they have nice haircuts.
They represent the stock market.
But I'm like, I don't know. I remember Jesse Hawley asking me years ago, what if you have a great player, like, and they want to grow their hair out long or grow a beard? And I'm like, then they can't play for the Yankees. Like, everybody wants to play for the Yankees, like it or not, Ranger fans, and... it's just kind of one of those things. If you go to the Yankees, you know what the rules are, and you just obey those rules. But now you can have a clean cut beard, so I'm back in.
So you're going to go be a Yankee, is what you're saying. Also,
and Michael Kay, he's not doing it anymore. The guy who got hit with the baseball last year and said "ow" on the air. Right? Isn't he out? Didn't he retire? Or am I crazy?
I'm not sure.
Remember that cut? Yeah. Ow!
I do.
Ball hit me.
The other thing that I saw was,
did you know Robinson Cano?
Dustin May, who we've had on the show before.
He's from the Fort Worth area.
Just in Northwest, right? Isn't he from that area?
He has kind of the big red hair. He gets hurt all the time, unfortunately.
I saw this last week, Kevin, and I was meant to bring it up on the show, but I was unable to do so. His injury last year, he got hurt last year eating a salad.
What?
He suffered a serious tear in his esophagus on a piece of lettuce.
Oh, I did hear. That's right. I did hear.
On a piece of lettuce.
It had to be iceberg.
Yes.
That's right.
His stomach was like the Titanic. Yeah.
Doctors performed a CT scan using contrast fluid that revealed the severity of his tear. Immediately, they ushered him into surgery. In a matter of hours, he went from being on the verge of a long-awaited comeback to facing the most unexpected setbacks. And, like, that's got to be so terrifying and frustrating at the same time, because you're like, I wasn't even throwing a pitch. I wasn't even eating healthy. Yeah, I was healthy.
You're eating
lettuce. That's a good point.
I was eating lettuce.
Yeah, like it's one thing to Big Mac it and just be like, I get it, man. It tastes great. It's not the best for you. And then you're like, well, I got sick off a Big Mac. And so you got sick off of lettuce?
That's a good reason to never eat a salad again, right there.
It's like last night at Chili's, when we ate at Chili's, I was like, there's the bird flu going around, and that guy made sure he killed all the bird flu out of my chicken.
They definitely made sure the burger and the chicken were very cooked through.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I had a salad at Outback Steakhouse on Thursday.
Yeah?
It was horrible.
Okay. See?
That's your fault, right?
They used to do it so well. They used to present their pecan blue cheese salad so well. I don't know what it's called, but they were like, yeah, we just mixed it all together in a big bucket back there and threw it on a plate.
Now
I was like, hey, Outback, you got to work on your presentation here, man.
Just dump it into a bowl.
Make sure all the lettuce is white. I'm like, there's no green in the lettuce.
Yeah,
I'm trying to eat healthy here with your blue cheese.
Ashton Jeanty announced today that he will not participate in the combine. He will
what?
Be there, but he'll only do the medical part.
Oh, okay.
Which Broadus has always said for him, combine, that's the most important thing. But for I think for purposes of everybody else at the combine, they want to see things. There are certain guys that you're like, I am interested in seeing this person do this.
I agree.
One thing that they've always said is that Indianapolis does have a pretty fast field. So run in your 40s. That might be an advantage because Jeanty says he's going to do only his stuff on pro day for Boise State. So that's the only time they'll be able to see him. And I've always wondered y'all's feeling on, is that the right decision, or should you go ahead and show off at the combine? Again, a lot of people look at it it's just a bunch of guys jumping through hoops, but there definitely does become a buzz whenever you got one or two of the three top dudes going to do something, and they could do something special. That whole place starts to buzz, and they're like, I got to go watch. Somebody's running this 40 right now. You know, Xavier Worthy wowed everybody last year. And I think they're...
With wrestling.
Well, not with wrestling. That's Xavier Worthy, he wowed everybody with his 40 time. Yeah. With his 40 time. Now, so I think that's one of the things that I think is really interesting about the combine.
I don't think it has had that much of an impact. And when you talk about like not participating in the combine, I mean, we even had people during COVID who took off entire years, and it didn't necessarily seem to impact draft status. So maybe this is the way to go, I guess.
Heck yeah. Trey Lance was like, y'all don't want to see me play.
Okay, so then do you think the combine turns into a... Not that no first-rounders are made at the combine, because I know that is not the case, but do you think it's turned more into a second roundish and later kind of deal then? Because you're like, no, we'll do stuff at our pro day, and like, you know who we are, and we'll answer your questions.
You might
not
have the top running back there. You might not have the top defensive end. You might, there are just a couple of guys that you might not have the best at what they do.
One of the top quarterbacks is like, I'm not throwing.
Yeah, quarterbacks for sure. And that's one of the, a lot of people will say, just look at my tape. My tape will tell you the story, and if you have good tape out there, you definitely want to rely on that. You don't want to give them any other opportunity to see something bad from you, because your tape is going to say, man, this player right here definitely does have what it takes to be out there. But Jeanty, obviously, we got to see more of him during the college football playoff. That's when everybody kind of was like, okay, I want to get my eyeballs on what this guy's all about. And he stood up. He was a good, fine player. There was a CBS has a top five teams, top five landing spots for him this year, and the Raiders are number five, and they got the number six overall pick.
Do you think the Raiders are out now because they can't see him at the combine, and they're like, hold on,
that was Mayock.
So they don't only draft 4-2 people, yeah. And they're like,
well, you know what, you might. That's always been a Raider thing. So give me speed, because you can't teach speed.
Yeah, and they're like, that guy can't catch the ball. And they're like, did you see how fast he was?
Really
I remember
fast.
Featherstone from Necessary Roughness.
Yeah, how well does he need to catch if he's past everybody? And you're like, he still has to be able to catch the ball.
Just real quick, side note, if you will.
Hayward Bay, is that who it was?
Yes. Yeah. Did you think it was weird that in Necessary Roughness that Featherstone had been dropping passes all season? And then finally he caught one pass, and they needed to double cover him on the next route. Like, he caught one pass out of, like, probably 70 targets, and they're like, now we got to double team him.
No, I don't think that's weird. I think I'm actually dead serious. You gotta cover him now.
I think that should be my philosophy as a defensive coordinator. If they catch a pass, we double team him.
Until the
next guy catches
a pass,
double team him.
Yeah, just double team
everybody.
They'll
never know where
they double
team.
You have no down linemen. Like,
at what point do you think the offensive coordinator is like, hey, if we complete a pass to him, they just double-team him no matter who it is.
Yeah.
we should just then throw to the next guy.
Yeah. That was, again, I go back, Kevin, that was Allen's approach to offense.
Yeah.
If Dan Buckner's not open because he was, what, 6'5", and he was just extremely athletic, then if he's not double covered, we throw to him because he's going to beat one-on-one coverage. If he is double covered, we throw to the other guy. The other team, Kevin, number 4, Cincinnati Bengals. They have the 17th overall pick, so they're after the Cowboys. The Chargers, who obviously leaned heavily on their run game this year, but health of their running backs was also a bit of a problem. And then the Broncos, who are at number 20, they have Jaleel McLaughlin, Audric Estime. They also have Javonte Williams. I think he's a free agent this year, but they have some names there, but their running game wasn't spectacular at all, and Sean Payton loves a strong running game. The number one team on this list is the Dallas Cowboys at the number 12 overall pick, as we've discussed this. And I know the hype and the excitement for it has kind of been building and growing, but my feeling is still, I think the Niners would love him, and the Niners are at 11.
Sure.
And I know they need they would love to have an offensive lineman, but I do wonder if a guy like Shanahan would look at it and go, look, I know we need an offensive lineman, and we got this offensive lineman from Texas that's sitting right here ready, available for us.
We have McCaffrey.
But and McCaffrey, like, is his health? Where is his health? If this kid... Do I need an offensive lineman, or do I need the running back that can go make some plays? And this guy can cover up some of the holes for our offensive line because, A, our system's done built well, and, B, he's an explosive player.
I know we still got a couple of months till the draft, but do you get the sense that Cowboys fans will be disappointed now if Genty is there and they don't take him? Or do you still think there's enough they're like, running back?
Dude, a lot of times... And this has happened years and years since Broadus has been doing what he's been doing with the draft show and Draft 101, which is always an awesome event that the fan has. A lot of times people go, well, that's the guy that I've fallen in love with because I've heard the most about him. Broadus has been talking about this guy. Broadus, fortunately, talks about 300 players a year.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here. Like we're very lucky that we
That's
have a dude that sees everything. But you start to fall in love with a couple of names, and if they don't pick them, you freak out. But I do think that a lot of people are high on him, but they do see that the Cowboys need a lot of things. So I do feel like a lot of people are being very realistic about where this Cowboys draft is. But Kevin, as you start to get closer and a little more excited about that specific type of player, you start keying in on what he is. Here are 13 other prospects and at the Combine to just keep an eye on.
Okay.
If you're tuning in for the Combine, Jahad Campbell, linebacker at Alabama, is coming into his own as an off-ball linebacker, showed great burst and football anchoring while he was with the Crimson Tide. Abdul Carter, we all know enough about him, right?
Yeah, some people think that should be the number one pick.
You think so? Yeah, I mean, like, are you still in quarterback mode there?
Look, I think if you have the number one pick and you're not going to take a quarterback, you can find somebody who either Shador or Cam thinks that's the dude, and you can get better value out of it.
I love players like this, Kevin. Nick Emmanuari, defensive back out of South Carolina. 6'3", 220-pound safety.
Wow.
I love players like that because of, just like we saw with Overshown,
yeah,
right? Like the flexibility, the ability to go back and forth and chain and kind of look at what is this guy. That's how they found Darren Woodson,
yeah,
right? Like, hey, he was a linebacker, he's a safety, what exactly is
he? And even if the NFL Hall of Fame committee thinks he sucks, we know how good he is.
We also got Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas, who could put on a display when he's out there running. And then a guy like Kenneth Grant, defensive lineman, and Travis Hunter. Now, one of the guys that I think that we've talked about a lot is Jalen Milroe. And he's got all these measurables,
yeah,
that you're looking at, and you're like, oh, man, all these things are great. But what is he really as a throwing quarterback? And I think during the season, the tape didn't give you enough to go, I love it.
I think sometimes I do fall into the trap of like, he's from Alabama. He has certain advantages that might make some of his stats look a bit better, and maybe I'm not on board with that. But there does seem to be some variation in terms of once you get past Shador and Cam, obviously, a lot of hype behind Jackson Dart, and just kind of how the rest of the quarterbacks will shake out.
And then the last thing, Kevin, we've been kind of tracking this slowly, but we are now 13 away. Alex Ovechkin had a hat trick.
Yeah.
This is awesome. On your pursuit of breaking the all-time record, he's now 13 goals away from breaking the all-time goal-scoring leader record. And he is the first player ever to score 200 goals in 3 different decades.
Wow, yeah, really?
Yeah, and then he says, you know what?
Holy moly.
Let's go ahead and try and catch up to this thing a little bit quicker. I want to get to this before the playoffs happen. Let me throw a hat trick into the mix. I know Robertson had a hat trick, and that's awesome and everything.
And his brother scored a couple goals.
And his brother, yeah. So the Robertson family was just like, hey, we're going to score as many goals as we want to, damn it. And I like that. I appreciate that about him. But there's Ovechkin out there throwing a hat trick into the mix. Only 13 goals away. I know we discussed this. Is it 5? Is that where we start really diving in on, you know what,
well,
this
now
might be tonight?
If he's putting hat tricks out there, maybe I need to readjust. But think about this. They only have 25 regular season games to go. And like, that's where you have to get the record.
Wow.
And so he's got 13 goals he needs to score in 25 games.
He can't do it in playoff goals don't count as
I do not believe that's how they've put this tally together, and if I'm incorrect, I apologize, but I don't think that's how they're doing it. But yeah, so it's not like he's going to retire after this year, but I mean, so you have what, about 25 games to get 13 goals? This feels like something that might happen in like the last three games of the regular season.
How awesome. Like, that is really awesome to think that late in the season he could be adding that to his list. And I do wonder how hockey celebrates it, because if it's the Capitals, you know, they're going to have something special for him.
Sure.
But does anybody else around the league shut down for a few minutes and say, hey, let him skate around and tap the stick for him just a little bit?
That's an interesting question. And like, Washington is awesome this year. Mm-hmm. I think they have the most points in the NHL. They've been a phenomenal team. So I also wonder if, like, you don't want to get your head too caught up with that pursuit right when you're about to roll into the playoffs. No, as well.
You got to focus on a lot of different things. But, you know, and I think that's part of let the game come to you. You know, somebody asked earlier, if you're out there trying to press for 13, then it might not happen. But, you know, when that puck just slides your way and you just do your job, the game came to you, and you got your 13 that you needed.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, can Cody Bradford break all the way out this season? Plus, we just might talk with the Texas Rangers' last first-round draft pick, Malcolm Moore. All of it coming at you live from Surprise on The Fan.
2-2. Strike three called. Pitch that was in the zone. It froze Swanson. Dropped by Barnhart, but Swanson starts walking back to the dugout. So Bradford with a knee buckler.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Surprise for Texas. Yes, we are.
We're not tape delayed?
No, we're not.
By a little bit, we are.
I mean, like,
because watch, I'm going to say the F word.
Oh, no, please.
And it'll get dumped.
God,
right?
Please don't. We're think? Brought to you.
I've never said the F word on the air.
But you know what? End your career that way.
Yeah.
If it can wait till Friday at this point, I'll
You write
it.
Down all the words you want me to say on Friday, and I'll say them.
Oh, great. I can absolutely do that. So we're brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. Associate sponsor here, on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service, guaranteed. Now, I want to talk about Cody Bradford in just one second, but we didn't get a really chance to talk about this. Shams yesterday said that Greg Popovich not expected to return this season and his future is uncertain as he's recovering from the stroke that he suffered in November. And it says in there mild stroke. I think the same thing about surgery when they're like, it's a minor surgery.
And yeah, it was
like,
a surgery.
Yeah, they're cutting into your body, probably.
Minimally invasive.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with a stroke. If you have a stroke, like, it, that feels pretty darn severe. So no Greg Popovich for the rest of the season, and I just don't know if we are going to see him coach again.
Okay, I agree with you. It would probably be a smart decision. This is a man who he was in front office before he went into coaching, I do believe. Him and their current GM. And I think that's a, like, this, it's been a fantastic career for him. I know he wanted to prove it wasn't just Tim Duncan. You know, like, sure, there was part of him that wanted to prove, look, it wasn't just that. Much like Belichick with Brady. But there's, and he wanted to prove, I can rebuild this thing. I can do it again. And it's fun whenever you're able to do that. Just time, you know, might be in the way a little bit. And Father Time, Mike, is undefeated, as you always say. But I do wonder.
Nice. It's Charles Barkley.
Hey, don't worry about it, Mike.
I think Mike invented that.
Right before
saying.
Barkley, somebody said it too.
I'm attributing ink to our Charles Barkley.
He talked about Canada. God. He talked about they won because of the tariffs and we're trying to make them the 51st state.
Oh, my God. Who else would do that? Mike would.
Yeah, who else would do
I am kind of curious, though, like, if Pop will. Like, what else he'll do with, because he loves the game so much. If he'll stay connected in some way, shape, or form. I don't know if you intended to have this long of a conversation.
No,
I've always loved Greg Popovich.
I think he will. Just one of the reasons I was checking is
he loves politics too.
He's that. Yes, he does. Is he 75 or 76? So that's just one of the things where I'm not sure if you're like, hey, if I was 65, maybe I would still just hang around with the team or be in the front office, especially since they might get the first two picks in the draft or whatever else the case might be. But I wonder if he will step away because of moving and shaking in some trades that they had made.
This is like Kevin Costner, huh?
Yeah. Yes. It's kind of like draft day. So one of my questions for you guys here is the Cody Bradford breakout, because you can argue, like, we saw that last year, but I guess my question is, do you think the assumption is he will be in the starting rotation to start the regular season?
100%.
Okay, so do I.
As long as he's not hurt.
He's exactly. The only lefty.
Exactly. So do you think this can be the year that he breaks all the way out? Because he definitely turned some heads last year, and he had some games that you're like, oh, wow, this can definitely work long term. Do you think this can be the year that he, like, not only shows that he's a starter, but shows that barring injury, he'll be in your rotation for who knows how long?
I would like to add a little question in this. He's more Matt Harrison than he is DeGrom. And so, like Mike was saying earlier, you kind of know what you're going to get out of him. And so, Kevin, when it comes to the name Cody Bradford, I feel like it's getting hyped up more than he actually is.
I could see that.
And people might go, dude, he didn't put up goose eggs the entire game. And that's not the way he does pitch. He's not an overpowering pitcher. He has really good stuff, and he knows how to pitch, though. And that's his best quality. So I think whenever you're like, hey, could he be a good fourth, third, you know, kind of guy in this rotation, that's a really exciting thing. But that might be the highest for him. But
as long as he doesn't get hurt, he'll be in the rotation the next 5 years.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm at.
But I do value him as a middle of the rotation guy.
Do you? Okay, and I hear what you're saying. Do you think he can or will be a real middle of the rotation guy as opposed to a, hey, this is what we've got, and so he's going to go in the middle of the rotation? Do you know what I'm saying?
He's the only lefty that we have that can start. Let's put him there.
No, I would say this. I think when it comes to rotational top front line and depth, the Rangers are top 10 in baseball right now in both of those categories.
I agree with that.
Because you have DeGrom and Eovaldi. You do have to worry about injury with DeGrom. Then you have Rocker and Leiter as guys that you feel, you know, good about the near future in helping. And then I get Rosario got hurt, but as of today, they still have Teodo, who they're considering a starting pitcher, who has a lot of promise, I think more as a short-end reliever.
I'm with you on that.
But so I think that they like their depth. I think that Cody Bradford is going to be a guy who puts up an ERA in the mid to high threes, maybe even low fours on rougher years, but he's just going to be a guy who you're like, no, like, we give him the ball. He gives us 5 to 7 innings. He battles for us. He gives us a chance to win most nights. If he's on a good team, he's going to win 12 to 14 games. If he's on a bad team, he's probably going to lose 12 to 14 games.
Which, especially for the price, you love. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of performance I absolutely love. And I love the attitude. So Bruce Bochy, one of the things that he said was, there's a great attitude on Cody's part, just staying humble, knowing that it's competitive. It's always going to be competitive. You don't assume anything. But I think if you look at the body of work that he did last year, I don't know who's better, because he said, my goal is to make the team. Think about that. I mean, like, he's on the team, but I appreciate the fact that he goes, I'm a man of achievable goals. So my first goal is to make the team. And he said, that might sound funny, but seriously, I'd love to be a starter and make the starting rotation. I'm excited to be here. I feel healthy, and I'm excited to see what we can do. But achievable goal to start is make the team and then go from there. Make the starting rotation and then go from there.
When do you stop just wanting to make the team?
He might not be he might be a person who, like, that's always his first little tiny goal.
I mean, once you get a multi-year contract, you're on the team. There's nothing they can do.
That's
true.
Yeah, that probably has something to do with it.
We're paying millions of dollars for multiple years. So
I see what
you're
saying,
though. I would say, as a human, you can still have the motivation of, like, I'm sure Jerry Rice, I was watching some NFL Network last night.
I got to make the team. Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, Jerry, we get it. Like, you're going for 1,700 yards and 12 touchdowns every year. Guess what? You made the team.
You made it last year. All right.
We'll call you in the office if you want us to. Be like, congratulations, you made the team again.
That would have been
that's what I want.
Okay.
Every year I want Gavin Spittle to call me in and be like, Corey,
Jerry Rice had, like, the mentality of, like, I'm coming to training camp, and yeah, I get it. You're the best receiver in the game, and nobody's ever seen anybody better than you. Cody Bradford's not going to be Jerry Rice of pitching. But there will be a time, I'm going to assume, after this year, that now he's getting arbitration eligible, the Rangers are going to look at it and go, hey, is it better to give him, like, a 4-year contract?
Sure.
Buy him out of arbitration, buy him out a year of free agency. and now have him locked under a, let's say, a team-friendly deal, but also for Cody, he doesn't have to worry about ever working after baseball's over.
I do think now we might have to ask Boch.
Working part.
I know. It's tough. I'm sorry, Mike. I do think that'd be a funny bit with Boch. Like, they bring in Marcus Semien and they have cameras in there and everything to tell him that he made the team.
We should suggest that when we have Boch up here.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think you could pull, you would enjoy this? Because if he would enjoy it, that would be the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
And I could just see him cracking that smile and laughing and be like, that sounds fun.
So we talked to earlier in the clubhouse, we talked with Malcolm Moore, and I want to play this interview for a variety of reasons.
Maybe set up who he is.
Yes,
I
will.
Because I think casual fans.
No, yeah, definitely.
Who he is.
Yeah. So I want to play it because he was the first round draft pick of the Texas Rangers in the last draft, pick number 30. So he was their first round draft pick, catcher out of Stanford. But also I want to play it because there's two amazing exchanges with Corey over the word dude and burning down Harvard that I think you guys should check out because it was super fun.
All right, Malcolm Moore, first round pick for the Texas Rangers, joining us. Malcolm, you got number 92 in your first spring training. If the Ranger said you made the team, but you have to wear 92, how pumped are you about the number 92?
I honestly think the number 92 is kind of cool. You see, like, spring training growing up, you see all these high numbers, and you think, oh, like, spring training number or whatever. But I think it's the highest number in the locker room, so. Hey, that's one thing, I guess. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, obviously, it's just cool to have a jersey.
92's really good at sacking quarterbacks.
That's a good point. It's just a little high level of prestige. You're like, I got the highest number, check
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, I think it's just cool to have a number, I mean, to be in the locker room with these guys. So
let's talk about that. You just got drafted. Obviously, the season right before that, they win the World Series, and you're here with all kinds of world champions. What's just being in the room mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome just learning from these guys, kind of picking their brains about little things, and definitely being with guys you grew up watching. It's pretty awesome, but just being part of the team, everybody's kind of took me in, let me know that like, I'm part of the group, and yeah, it's been awesome.
Do you tell them that you grew up watching them, and then does that hurt their feelings just a little bit?
No, I haven't, but yeah, I don't want to.
Who have you got to catch so far where you're like, your stuff's awesome, dude?
All the guys' stuff's pretty good. I don't feel like there's really been one guy that's been, like, over the top better than everybody else. Everybody's kind of just knows what they're doing, and they're good at what they do.
Does anybody say dude anymore? Is that still used?
What?
Dude?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you just said dude,
yeah,
and
dude.
I was like, is that a thing still? Or
like, dude?
Yeah. Why are we phasing that?
I think it's the old people that say dude. I don't think young people say it anymore. I think they say bro or bruh.
So our co-host Mike Bassick was well known as a, can we say, finesse pitcher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Soft-tossing lefty.
Yeah.
I used to hate that phrase, but go ahead.
I'm really sorry. If you have a soft-tossing lefty or whatever, how's your advice go for them versus just obviously a lot of flamethrowers nowadays?
I mean, it's just about pitching everybody's strengths. Obviously, some guys throw it harder than others, and but everybody's here for a reason. So the guys that throw softer and are lefties, I mean, they obviously get outs with their stuff, so there's no reason to change it up now or try to do something different, try to be here or not.
So here's my Stanford question. Is Stanford easier than we would think or harder than we would think educationally?
I think it's easier than you think. Educationally, it's hard, really hard to get in. But once you get in, they kind of do a good job and help you out as far as like getting good grades and passing all your classes.
Do you look at Stanford as the Harvard of the West? How's that? Is that a battle constantly?
I think that Stanford's in its own like bracket. I feel like it's different. I mean, it's a special place. I've never been to Harvard. I've never really seen much about it, but. Yeah, Stanford special.
I didn't know if that was a thing on campus where they're just like, burn Harvard and stuff like that.
Wow. Okay, so just to recap, you think people don't say dude anymore that people at Stanford want to burn Harvard to the ground?
That's the kind of thing that goes through my mind most of the time.
Well, there you go. In case you want to know something about our co-host right there.
Well, we appreciate your time, man. Yeah, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
I think Malcolm Moore thought we were fighting with each other a little bit during that interview. I remember looking at his face and then now listening to it. I think when he was like, wait, are like they fighting with each other a little bit?
No, that's just how we are. He'll get to know us. He's young.
He won't get to know us. He'll get to know you guys.
He'll get to know me and Kevin.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still going to be doing this stuff, right?
Yeah, but I'm going to be like separated from you guys. Like, so next year when you interview Malcolm Moore and he's in his second big league camp and maybe they give him number 91. Really lower his bar there.
Dude, you've been pointing out all the numbers that they're
horrible. The A's brought nobody.
Number 87.
Finally, guys with like digits under 60 are showing up.
Is this your guy, number two here? Is that your the dude from the A's that you love?
No. That might be Astori Ruiz, I'm naming that right. That's Marcus Semien's old number for the Athletics, I believe.
Nice.
And just the reason why I'll bring it up is, if you have a high number in spring training, perhaps fair to say that they do not anticipate.
A lot of times, but now you will see a lot of relief pitchers with crazy numbers that they kind of keep the spring training number they got. So it used to be if you're in spring training and you got number 60 or above, you have about a 1% chance of making the team, and that might be too high of a percentage.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation.
77, okay. 65.
All right.
Welcome
live
and to surprise.
The minor leagues, guys.
On The Fan.
Dallas picks it up, feeds the slot shot, score! Matt Duchene gets it right back for Dallas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where I thought maybe a little bit of hockey talk here. The Stars win back-to-back games over the weekend coming out of the Four Nations. But in listening to our conversation prior to this crosstalk, I feel like that's a lost cause. So we'll talk about something else. But right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Doing wonderful. Hagee, I thought that conversation, would you trade Luca for Wemby post blood thinners, was a fascinating conversation.
I mean, that or Lawrence Butler. Which one do you want to go with first, since we've got the A's and the Royals about to start right in front of us?
What's going down with Lawrence Butler?
I mean, that's his guy.
One of my favorites. He's number four for Oakland. Or I guess I shouldn't say that anymore. For Sacramento.
Is he the one right out on the field?
Yeah, he's got a big butt, huh?
He's like, good he's athlete. Like
high butt. Yeah. Not, I wouldn't say big butt. He's like not Mark Aguirre. But
what do you mean when you say high butt? Like, I get
closer to your lower back than your hamstrings?
Yeah, smaller torso. It's what a center fielder looks like.
Yeah, it pokes out a little bit because you've been doing deadlifts, you know, kind of thing.
Can you imagine Phil Jackson walking the sideline with that butt?
Yeah.
Kind of a high butt.
So we got A's versus Kansas City. You guys get to watch that game while you're here. Watch Lawrence Butler. Yeah. He's going to lead off. He's going to hit a bomb or hit a ball 114 miles an hour. But it's going to be a tough matchup. I think Cole Reagans might be the starting pitcher for Kansas City. I thought that was him warming up 400 feet from us.
But yeah, I love watching baseball.
We can talk Wemby and Luca.
Yeah, so are you saying, like, if you still had Luca, or are you saying for the Lakers having Luca, would they trade it for Wemby?
I guess it works in either or, but, you know, now that his career is in jeopardy, would that have been a better return? I don't think I would have done it now. Before this condition that was revealed, I thought that would be one of very few players that I would trade Luca for. But
I'm with you, and now it is very concerning, because you're like, not only are you going to miss the rest of the year, obviously this could be something that has complications to go with it for a while. It's a damn shame, because he's an awesome player.
He is. I don't know what his ceiling would be without the condition, you know, but even if he just stayed where he was now or progressed modestly for the next 5 to 8 years as a big man hits his peak, usually in his late 20s, he would at least win a couple of MVPs with the potential to maybe be one of the greatest players of all time. I don't know, Mike. Watching him move, it's kind of hard to gauge with super tall guys sometimes, but I'm like, man, does he have the quickness and the change of direction to truly be like the once-in-a-generation type of guy?
It's a good question. I was wondering this as this season was progressing, as they were hanging around 10th to 12th place.
Yeah.
And his hype was really high. And I get, you know, Luka came to a team. The Mavericks weren't very good. You can argue who had more talent in year two on their team, Luka or Wemby. But, I mean, there wasn't, like, team progression like you thought there would be in Wimby's second year, where you had – but the Mavericks got the 5 seed in Luka's second year.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, he played a position where he could totally dominate the game. You know, Wemby, as a big guy, even though he can handle it a little bit, he's not going to be a floor general or a guy that you want to lead the league in usage. So I think it would take a comparable type of backcourt superstar in order for them to really contend. I don't think he could take a team there on his own.
And I was talking about this earlier. It looks like the Spurs, in addition to having their own pick, they have Atlanta's pick that conveys no matter what. So if Atlanta were to fall out of the playoffs, or obviously right now they're in the play-in, you could have two very high draft picks for the Spurs, and obviously it seems like they'll probably get Cooper Flagg because that's just the way that the NBA draft lottery
goes. I said last week, if that happens, if the Spurs end up getting Cooper Flagg, I'm joining Mike.
You're done?
Protesting
the league forever. Okay.
That would
how
be...
they got David Robinson and then Tim Duncan and Wimby. Like,
it is unbelievable.
1989, let's say. And you name the best big man in the history of the NBA since 89. Robinson, Duncan, and we don't know Wemby yet, but we assume, like, if he's healthy. Obviously, Shaq would probably be number one. Or him and Duncan would be one and two, however you want to do it.
But, I mean, David Robinson's pretty damn high.
So they
there,
got so. Three out of the four best big men in the history of the NBA since 1989 in the draft.
It is.
And then Cooper Flagg, I guess maybe they won't give him because he's not a big man. He's a wing.
True.
Have you ever been at a blackjack table or a poker table where one guy's getting all the luck for like 3 hours? That's them for three decades.
See, I feel like what's the appropriate time to bail? Because you said 3 hours in.
Yep.
How far do you get in where you're like, F this dealer, F this table, I'm out?
Oh, man. I would say well before that.
I'll
be cleaned out in 45 minutes.
How many decks are when they're doing that major shuffle? Four decks?
I think that is correct.
Yeah. If we go through two plays and they've and I'm just getting destroyed, I'm like, screw it, I'm done. Like, obviously, I'm not going to win with this dealer, which the dealer honestly has nothing to do with it.
No, I
know
that.
But you just feel like I've gone through two shuffles and I am getting nothing. I can't do this table anymore.
Man, Gavin, have you ever sat down at a poker table? The old saying of if you don't know who the sucker is, you're the sucker.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that feeling before?
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times, especially live because I played so much online and I'm uncomfortable already. And then, you know, when I realize I'm around really good players, it's like, oh, crap, you know, they're picking me apart here. So that's when you want to be in a cash game so you can cut your losses and go home.
Yes.
Sometimes you're in a tournament. You're
yes.
like, I'm fighting for my life against Sharks. All I got is all in. I'm all in. I'm not going to get outplayed after the flop. Here you go. Take it or leave it, guys.
Yeah. And they're like, man, he must have amazing cards. He's like, hold on.
The whole game, every single hand. So. He's really good.
What do you guys think about Woj's bit to raise money for St. Bonaventures? He's going to sell his old phones. So I guess every single year, Woj would get the new iPhone. And so what he's doing is to raise money for their NIL program. He's selling his old phones, and he's also going to like give you a list of the stories that he broke with each particular phone. I have questions about how much he really remembers that or jotted it all
down. I'm sure you can just go to the internet and look
at it. That's probably true. Hey, when did I break this story?
Yeah.
Okay, that was a four.
But does it still have all the numbers in it that he had, all his contacts?
Ooh,
that's what I
wondered.
Want.
Because then the price skyrockets, right? If you can just text LeBron and be like, hey, I bought Woj's phone. What's up? My name's Steve.
Yeah. I mean, you'd raise money for St. Bonnie's and lose yourself a bunch of friends and contacts.
Yeah,
that's true.
I don't know. Well, like, with or without contacts, I don't think I'm interested.
Okay, yeah.
You know, but who knows? I guess if it's raising money for the university, there's got to be some money in that alumni base. It's one to throw them some
now,
cash.
He can delete the old texts. I just want the contacts.
Oh,
you know?
Man. Have you been following the Steve Smith story?
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Have you read those text messages?
I did. I read the text, and then I listened to an interesting phone conversation between the husband and Steve.
Oh, really?
Whoa, where is that? I have not.
On Twitter.
I've not heard.
Steve didn't have a lot to say.
I mean, what are you supposed to say?
Sorry,
I tried to bang
your
wife.
Yeah.
He just kind of confirmed it and said, I'm sorry.
Man, that
seems like the reasonable thing
to
do.
That's the way to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're in a horrible situation, I think. But seems like the husband's handling it well. You know,
yeah.
He's going to make the most out of it, go viral. And wow.
Are you surprised that it's a marching band that might have brought them together?
Dude,
because this gal was in the Ravens marching band, and I guess Steve Smith was like an honorary member of the marching band, and maybe that's how this all got going.
Yeah, I guess doesn't surprise me. Like, if you're around the team and you're a high-profile alumni, and there happens to be one of the prettiest ladies that works in the NFL next to you.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think it's a surprise. I think it's human nature. Like, you know, if somebody's going to take your gal, the chances are pretty high it's going to be somewhere at work. You
yeah,
know, she spends a lot of time there, mm-hmm. builds relationships there. Yeah. So.
What do you think
like
about
WWE?
Yes, I mean that happens a
Raw's
lot.
Raw's war tonight.
That's right. That's what Mike's most invested in.
I know. It's like we're having a team dinner at 6:15. I'm like, Sandler, do you not know Raw comes on Netflix at 6 o'clock here?
I don't think he does know that.
I'm gonna have to yeet while we're watching dinner. God. I mean, while we're eating dinner, I'm gonna be yeeting.
I don't have anything to yeet,
Dawson. Luther, when you
Jey Uso.
When you hear
this, Liv Morgan
oh
tonight.
God.
I think there's a tag team championship match
That's
tonight.
Right. That's right.
Wow, I know this crap now. So what happens
You're invested.
When you give, so what happens when you give the NBA?
Excited. You start watching, the next thing you know, the drama pulls you right in.
Elimination Chamber this Saturday, 6 p.m.
Oh
on the
gosh.
Peacock.
All
wow.
right, guys.
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds amazing.
It's awesome. They put four people in corners in plexiglass, and then every 4 minutes they let one out, but they're lighting them up, and you don't know which one, and then a new guy comes out, or girl, because they
girl.
Have the girl Elimination Chamber,
they
which
do.
Is pretty much guy wrestling in slow motion where they telegraph everything.
Okay. Oh, good
to
know.
Did I say it wrong or right?
I have no opinion on that. What
Very
you,
offended.
What do you guys have coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, yes. thanks for asking. We'll have Joe Barlow at 4:40, but Josh Smith coming up at 2:20.
Hey, before you start that interview with Joe Barlow or play it, will you ask Zach and Eric how high those shorts came up? Because he was showing off some leg tattoo to them this morning.
He sure was.
Do you know he doesn't wear shorts?
You don't wear shorts at all?
Not unless I'm in an athletic endeavor, so not really.
I'm with you. My reasoning is I have pale chicken legs.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what yours is. You
it's
know,
his,
I heard I heard Hagee has like diamond calves though. I'd be showing those bad boys.
I have
off
the
if
best
I
calves.
You.
He
yeah,
does,
the
but
station.
He has to wear long shorts.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
All right, roll home with the G-Bag Nation
Six
live from Surprise.
Hold him.
We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow.
He's done.
Can you just stop for a second?
It's only foot Monday. Long. Get your foot longs
All
at the
right.
ballpark.
Also, I'm pretty sure they're about to do the anthem. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 to 2 on the Fan.